So I gave you a list of the things that I jotted down in no particular order. And I don't know if you want to rank them or just kind of lump them all together, but to me, the Jed York arrest would be at the top of the list for me just because he's the owner. Second would be Kyle Shanahan and his car crash. Maybe the way that it was reported leaves it towards the top of mind just because there was an 11-day absence between the actual accident and the first report. Then you get into Ricky Pearsall and question of Mike Evans under the umbrella of age and anxiety for the Niners. You know, McCaffrey, Williams, Kittle, and then Nick Bosa. And if you want to throw the substation story in there, you can. It's kind of just got another chapter at this stage. But all of that, well, and Brandon Ayuk, I'm not sure if I mentioned that already. All of that together, how would you sum up what the summer's been for the San Francisco 49ers?
Wow. I'm definitely not going dysfunction. That's way too strong. So let's just get that out the way. Accidents and mistakes do happen. And when I say accidents, that's Kyle Shanahan. And I thought that was the one that could follow them into the season because we thought maybe he wouldn't be available for the plane ride, the game, and calling plays and being the head coach. I think it'd be safe to say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like the timing component is why I have that not at the top. Okay, so I got, I'm going to go one, anxiety of age, two, Pearsall, three, man, I don't want to say it. I'll go Ayuk. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm going Ayuk and what he was doing.
Praise hell.
Because you're going to feel the loss regardless of what Stribling does, and you don't have Pearsall. But all that he was doing, and he had his 15 minutes of fame, it's over. But what if I told you now, when I saw those videos, and I did smile and the cheeks raised, the bottom line is it's a reminder of what you don't have. And you just think about, just for a second, that contract, how he had earned it, and what he could be, and what he was at the time of the signing. I just looked at that as a reminder of what they don't have on the outside. Then you could tell me, okay, well, you got Ricky Pearsall. That's why Ricky Pearsall is number two on my list, because he's not there. So now a lot of pressure is on Stribling. I'm not saying he can't answer the bell, but before I give you all six, those would be my three. Anxiety of age, Bosa, and Brandon Ayuk. Do you think I got Ayuk too high?
No, I think it's basically a reminder of what you don't have at the receiver position. That
even with Stribs, you know,
you had to go replace. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They might have gone and got Stribling anyways. It sounds like they were very high on him going into the draft, and they found their guy. But I do believe a big reason they drafted Ricky Pearsall is because they knew they were going to have to move on from Deebo Samuel. And one of the reasons they may have decided Stribling was their first overall selection was because they knew they're going to have to move on from Brandon Ayuk. So you sign Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, if you want to include him, you bring back Deebo, and it's because of what you don't have, either because you messed it up or they went off the deep end, right, or because a guy got hurt.
No doubt. And who was it Friday, if you can help me, Evan? No, I don't need your help. West Oakland Holloway called in and came down my road because I used this word on Ricky Pearsall when he played. I want to revisit that. And Kenny, let me know what you think. My two guys. Do you have a problem with me calling Pearsall when he was on the football field? I know he didn't get any touchdowns. I thought he was dynamic in a sense. I saw him make long plays down the field, and unfortunately it was a tease. But, man, I just think had they had, you know, now Ayuk and Stribling, you know, how scared the Rams or Seattle would be.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get out to the city, or stay in the city, I should say, and talk to Jay. Hey, Jay, what's going on? Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing, fellas?
Hey.
Awesome.
Hey, I saw Goo at the corner store up on Montgomery the other day, man. Shout out Goo, man. It was good to see him face to face. But, I want to talk about the Jed York thing, man. And even the Kyle Shanahan thing. Look, man, I've been part of multiple organizations, and not sports, but, you know, other ones. And, you know, when you have your two major leaders going through things that they did, right? I mean, and Shanahan, it's up for debate whether it was his fault. It sounds like it was a cover up. And then Jed York gets caught, you know, pretty much doing the worst thing you could possibly, one of the worst things you could possibly do. You know, next time the Niners are in Atlanta, they're, you know, and they're in Magic City, they're going to stay out extra late. You know, the leaders set the tone, right, of the organization. And I think, man, the 49ers right now have a pretty bad HR problem at the top, right? And this isn't just some middle management thing. This is the top. And I think that's going to have ripple effects in the team going forward, right? You know, think about it, right? If you're a rookie on the team and you're out one night and you have the decision to go home at 2 a.m, or you have the decision to stay out for a couple more hours, you're probably going to think to yourself, well, you know, my leadership team isn't that responsible, so I might as well just stay out. That's the kind of tone they're setting internally, man. So I don't know. I think it's bad. I think this is a really bad look. I think it's going to have effects on the Niners this season, big time. But
hey, thanks for the love. I remember seeing you, man. You came up and showed love. Yeah.
Well, I got to ask, what were you doing at the corner store in Montgomery the other day?
Oh, getting the flume right over there. Yeah, so he ran into me. So he ran into me, said he listens to every day.
I was asking to be completely honest.
It was a Friday. Oh, you asked me to be ready for the answer, and he showed love. Now, I got to say something. You know I got love for Jerry Jones. He got caught in the bathroom doing some stuff.
It was in the documentary.
Okay, all right, gotcha. So I feel like that was a bit strong. That's my man. Like, if it's Brock Purdy, you know, partying in the wee hours of the night, making bad decisions, missing curfew, I think then a rookie would be like, well, man, I'm seeing, you know, other guys do it. But, Evan, I'm not giving Jed York a pass. I don't even have the power to. It was bad. It's embarrassing. It'll probably follow him. But I don't think the owner, who's not there every day, putting on pads, traveling with the team like that, I just don't think that trickles down to where one of these youngsters would be like, well, the owner made a bad, and I could be wrong, the owner made a bad decision, so I'm going to do it. If it was one of my teammates, you know, a leader, then I think you might have something.
No, but it's the owner of the team, and I understand where people wonder how that's going to have an impact on out routes or third down percentage.
Yes, out, yes.
But when you, and when you talk about your organization as being one of a higher standard you know, winning with class and culture being a big part of what separates the San Francisco 49ers from any other team in the NFL,
right,
it's hard for me to take you seriously when the guy that owns the team is involved in engaging in prostitution and got booked for 2 misdemeanors in the offseason. You know, the Kyle thing is a little bit different. And I don't think, to the caller's point, that a player who's out in a particular city is going to be thinking about what the owner's doing when he wants to go home or decide to send it until 4 a.m.
Right.
Like, that to me is maybe more of a micro thing. But absolutely, players are wondering what the Niners stand for right now. You know, what are the San Francisco 49ers about? Because I just gave you several things that have happened this summer, just in one offseason, that may lead you to believe that this, again, higher standard that they hold themselves to is not actually there. And you could be saying, hey, that's naive. I don't know why you'd believe that in the first place. This is professional sports. The NFL stuff happens all the time. But stuff like this hasn't happened to the Niners in recent memory to me. Yeah. And it's all becoming undone, particularly at a fragile time in the franchise's place, because we don't know how much of a window they have open.
And that's a big question for me.
So, like all of this precedes, in my opinion, a pretty important season, because I think that with Shanahan and Brock, you do have two pillars in place, but you're going to have to decide if you're John Lynch or down the line, whoever makes these choices, they're going to have to decide which way they want to send the 49ers. Do we want to still try and go for it by acquiring this veteran, you know, sort of experienced talent? Or do we want to put it in reverse and try and strip some parts down? So again, this is a really important year, not just for the Niners to try and, you know, win some games.
No, it's real.
But it could decide the next few years in terms of the franchise's direction, and that all is after the owner gets in trouble and gets arrested.
Yeah. Listen, I hear you, and I'm not exonerating, you know, Jed York. It was bad. But the bottom line is, this season to me is Michael Jackson for the 49ers. Team in the mirror. You're going to really, truly find out how close you are, or how far you are off from competing with Seattle and the Rams, who I think are going to be a problem. Let me ask you this, because you brought up this list. I told you number one was, and I loved how you phrased it, anxiety of age. What's number one on Evan's list of the six that you gave out?
It would be the owner getting arrested over the weekend. That to me is the biggest problem with the Niners right now. And the 6-5-0, I think, puts it into words perfectly. How do they hold anybody accountable now if a player gets in trouble?
The same way they would do it before Jed got in trouble. Like, to me, Evan, that is heavy that you got that number one, but on 3rd and 7, what's that? Nobody's thinking about Jed York. You know, the defense has got to tackle. They got to get after the quarterback. Offense, you got to move the chains. That still is the essence of the game. I just feel like, and you kind of described it, but man, E, these are grown-ass men, and I don't think inside their helmets or in their minds, when they're going to get after their opponent, they're going to be thinking about Jed York. And with that, I just got to add this caveat. It's a bad look. But, man, the standards are still the standards. The owner showed us he's human and he can make mistakes. I just don't think there's going to be a free-for-all now where players are getting trouble left and right. Since 2019, that Super Bowl trip, I feel like the Niners off the field have been pretty damn good. So, you know, people take vows, and for better or for worse, and infidelity left and right in our country, and some spouses give that person or those persons a second chance. We do it in life all the time when people put themselves in situations that are embarrassing and are wrong, but I just don't think that that number one, like if you tell me, Evan, you're saying that's the number one storyline of the offseason, like it supersedes Kyle's car crash, I'll give you that. But as far as this being an opponent for the team not to be ready or prepared, like I would fight against that.
Well, the biggest problem for the football team is that they're the oldest team in football.
That's why I had anxiety of health.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're like I just ran some numbers this morning. The average age of playoff teams over the last three seasons is about 26.3 years old.
Where are the Niners?
The Niners are at 30.2. They're the oldest team in football. So if we're talking about X's and O's, that's their biggest hurdle that they have to to get over.
Yeah.
But if I'm thinking about where the team is and where the franchise is, there's questions about the future of the Niners now because of what their owner did and the choices and his actions. I don't know if he's going to still be the face of the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if he's going to have to cede control the way his uncle did back in the late 90s and early 2000s. I don't know who's going to take over San Francisco because, you know, the thing about it is really until Kyle Shanahan got here, there was a lot of instability between Harbaugh and him. When the Niners have not had quality leadership, they have struggled. And so that to me is a big deal because as much as Jed York did make a mistake and then showed a severe lack of judgment, the people that he's put in place to run this football team have put them in a position to where they've gone to 4 NFC championships and a couple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Though they haven't won, he's put people in positions of power that have helped this team. And if that changes because people don't trust him anymore, well, then that is a huge deal. And it might not show up this year, but down the line, I think there's absolutely questions about where the Niners are going.
Well, that's fair. And I just think of the Vrabel situation, although it was different, it was a distraction, and that was a head coach. You know, Kenny and I kind of talked about it yesterday. On the field, New England didn't skip a beat. I think that would be fair to say. I'm with you on the future of this team, but I just have a hard time discussing the Niners like we've done as a station all off season, and nobody once mentioned York. And then now that he puts himself and the team in an embarrassing situation, I just can't muster up the energy to say now. And Evan, it kind of feels like you're saying in the future, this could get worse or be a problem. But I just think, you know, hey, how's Bosa going to – is he going to be available week one? What's the running game like? Who's going to win the left guard position if that's not decided? Those things supersede York's embarrassing action yesterday.
Well, right now they do. Right now they do. To fans they do because they don't care. You know, to a lot of people, he was just in a trailer park doing what guys do.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that can impact the franchise down the line. That's the only thing that I'm trying to argue. You're right, yeah. He's not going to help Mike Evans stay on the field.
No, but I hope I don't sound like I'm just like that was bad.
Well,
like,
no, but
is his family going to force him to sell his share? Like,
I think you're speaking for a lot of people. Like, they don't care.
Gotcha. Now, if this were Kyle, I know he had his accident. Thank God he's okay. But now, Evan, if we're talking about the head coach was in this and that was Kyle's mugshot, your boy would be over here with a whole different platter of worry. But I feel like it's the owner, I just, you know, and I mentioned Jerry Jones, and I wasn't having fun. He put himself in a situation, and it kind of died down. And, you know, we saw the thing with Kraft, and it was different. But who knows? You could be right, but I think the Niners got to worry. The players and coaching staff, they need to worry about the Rams.
Well, and Brian Baldinger brought that up a little bit in light of the Jed York news. You know, how does Baldy see it impacting, or not, the 49ers' actual players on the field?
When San Francisco kicks this thing off in Melbourne, like, nobody's going to be thinking about it, right? Mm. Everybody's discussing it, and everybody has a pretty strong opinion about it and about Jed and the ownership and the whole thing and what should be done. So that you can't escape that. That's the players hear all of it, and they're going to be asked about it. But ultimately, when Kyle takes his team out to practice, it's not going to be discussed. Players aren't. Like, when I was in Philadelphia, we were basically on the basement, and the owners of the team, Norman Brayman, the executives, GM, they were on the third floor. Like, it was just a separation. They had the third floor. That was all upstairs. And that's a metaphor for that's kind of how all teams are. There's teams in this league, you don't even know who the owners are. To the players, they have to deal with this because they're being asked about it, and they probably feel embarrassed for Jed, and they probably wish it never happened. But ultimately, they're paid to perform by Jed. That's what the focus is going to be. It's going to be in between the lines and being a better team than that playoff loss to Seattle last year.
Mm.
No,
I agree.
Point well taken. Yeah. Point well taken. I don't know. My point is just simply, I think that ownership is something we don't care about in the immediate, but you've seen what difference ownership makes just up the street at Chase Center.
Yeah, no doubt.
When they went from Steve Cohen to Joe Lacob, within 5 years they had a championship. And I know that not everyone wants to give Joe Lacob all the credit, but the Warriors were a joke under the previous ownership. Yeah.
Great timeout.
Yeah, that's what they were. So I do think if that's, you know, potentially at risk, I think that is a big deal. I don't know, maybe it's just me.
And I know we got the rest of the week to get down, so we got time. But I am curious to just get your temperature on. Evan, do you think this team is a playoff team? Or are you like, goo, I need to see who's available week one, week two, week three? Mykael Williams, when's he coming back? You know, what are they going to look like defensively under Raheem Morris? Or do you feel like in your gut you got a strong sense of how good you feel this team can be? Because I'm just – like, I need to know if Bosa – what's going on there?
I wonder how much the Niners are hanging on, or if they're a team that like is just going to be healthy this year and
watch out.
Everyone is going to go back to being who they were in 2022.
See, and that's why two of my favorites. I just don't think, and I think you backed me up when I brought this up to you when Stoney was on vacation. It's kind of symbolic to me that the Niners had help wanted signs for Greenlaw and Debo, because normally when you part with a player, the progression is you got somebody to take their place. But the fact that you had openings, I just wonder if Greenlaw and Debo in a Niner uniform could tap in and be what they were on their best day as a Niner.
Well, they're going to have to if this team is going to realize its potential. Like, you need Greenlaw from 2023 before he tore his Achilles. You need Debo Samuel from a couple of years ago. Well, more than a couple of years ago, because he was on his way out. But Guru's biggest... right now, you know, storyline from the summer is the anxiety of age for the San Francisco 49ers. Is that the way that you're feeling? You know, you got Ayuk, the substation, Ricky Pearsall's injury, McCaffrey, Bosa still hasn't returned to practice yet, the age of Williams and Kittle, Jed York, Kyle Shanahan's car crash. You know, how would you categorize this summer, and what sort of is top of mind for you as a San Francisco 49ers fan?